Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. And now here with music on record is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Eddie Joyce. Good morning, everyone. This is Howard Miller for Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. And today we're going to have an opportunity of talking to a couple of real nationwide celebrities in our business. Because first of all, we're going to present to the American public Mr. Dave Capp, a man whose name is synonymous with the entire record industry. A man who has probably contributed more to our field of recorded music than any other human being walking the face of this earth. And his latest discovery, a young gentleman by the name of Roger Williams, who plays a whale of a piano in a big hit record called Autumn Leaves. These celebrities of the show world you'll meet in just a moment or so after we listen to an opening selection done by Peggy King, who performed on our show last week. Perhaps you remember. She has a great arrangement here of a hillbilly song on Columbia Records known as Learning to Love.
From now on, it won't be the same as it was in the past, but I'm glad growing up's kind of bad. Learning to love is nice with a teacher like you. I'm getting a new point of view of learning to love. A new kind of thrill, a chilly feeling whenever I speak your name. For this is my first time, you know, I'm learning to love.
Song done by Peggy King of Columbia Record called Learning to Love. It's almost inconceivable that came from the field of country and western music, but it did. And it's a good one. It's a very big hit record for a lovely little girl who sings, of course, on the George Gobel television show. I'm sure that you've seen her on Saturday nights and you met her on our show last week. When's the last time that you had the opportunity to reach your hand into your pocket, Dad, or you, Mother, into your pocketbook and pull out a clean, fresh, white package of Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum? When's the last time that you had an opportunity of tearing off some of that silver foil and handing a piece to your friend and saying, here, have a piece of chewing gum, Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum? Well, if it's not been too long ago, you know that you always get a delightful reaction from your friends because they like to chew gum. If the gum is good and Wrigley Spearmint is the finest gum made in all the world. I wish that you'd have that pleasure today and your friend would have it too. If you're reaching in, pulling out the white package of Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum and saying, here, pal, have a piece of Wrigley Spearmint. It's the finest in all the world. And I don't care if you don't glorify it quite as much as we do and make a big speech about it, but you hand a piece to your friend and see how much they'll enjoy it, too. I know that you will whenever you can reach in for Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum. Wholesome, refreshing, delicious. You like it. It's good. Well, now let's go to New York City into the offices of Mr. Dave Capp, who is the majordomo of the Capp Record Company, and the man who we told you a few moments ago had contributed more to the scene of American recorded music than I think anybody else in the business, and I don't think I can stand corrected, Dave. Is that enough of a compliment to kick you off with?
Well, Howard, that's very kind of you. I'm very humble before all this.
Well, Dave, first perhaps I should justify to the American public. You started the Decca Record Company, you and your brother Jack and Paul. And as a result, of course, that launched in a whole new era in American music because that was the first of the major labels to come along, wasn't it?
Yes, that's true.
Now, after that, Dave, you did a number of different jobs in the industry. You were for a long while associated with RCA Victor. And then just very recently, you started your own record company. On what basis did you decide to start a new record company? Were there not enough of them in this country?
Well, there were enough of them, but there were certain things that I wanted to do, and I just couldn't seem to convince people that they should let me do exactly what I wanted to do. And I finally got to a point in my life where I decided that from now on, I was just going to make the kind of records I wanted to make and nothing else.
Well, now that's a big piece of pie to cut, Dave. Was the market ready, do you think, for the sort of thing that you want to do? Apparently so, or you wouldn't have invested your money in that sort of an enterprise.
Well, I think the market is always ready, Howard. I think that most people are always ready for something which is good.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the... this is an old, old saw, as you know, but I just felt that if I could build a better mousetrap, they'd come.
Yes. And, well, Dave, all of your records with the Cap Record Company have been marked with an air of sophistication. At least you have not delved into a field of music that is less than pretty music. And I sometimes wonder if you probably then don't agree with my theory that the old adage about it's too good for the American public is too bitter a pill to swallow. I don't go along with that, do you?
No, I just don't think that that it can be too good. This, we're in a strange business. I'm sure that if you went to buy a house, nobody would say to you, don't buy it, it's too good.
Yes.
Or if you bought a car, they say, well, don't buy this, this car is too good.
Yes.
Too good only means one thing in terms of the record business. It means you have to work a little harder to put it over.
Yes. Well, Dave, actually, where did it come from? Why do certain artists and repertoire men feel when they make a good record that they'll say, well, this is not commercial, it's too good for the American public? I think the American public understands good music.
They do, but the tempo of the times is such that most people can't wait. You see, they want something. They want to do something today and have it a success tomorrow. Well, of course, that's never been the history of our business. I can think of so many things. One thing comes to me very quickly. I talked to Dick Rogers within the past year, and he said to me, he said, you know, I always felt that something would happen to my Funny Valentine. It's interesting to note, for example, that Rodgers and Hammerstein in the years when they were writing their great songs never had a hit.
Yes.
But they wrote good songs, and they were content to wait.
Yes. Well, now, Dave, certainly that sort of thing is typical of your late release, which has been such a tremendous smash hit across the country. I'm sure it's going to be one of the best sellers from now until Kingdom Come. Autumn Leaves by Roger Williams, who I understand is right there in your office with
you. Yes, he's right here, sitting right opposite me.
How did you decide to do this, Dave? This is an old record, an old song, rather. You brought it back from Europe, didn't you?
Well, I actually didn't bring it back. The first I heard of the song was... the reason I remember the time now is because I looked up the letter. This is when I was with Decca, and I had a letter from Bing, who was in France at the time, who wrote to me and said that there was a great French song over there called Les Feuilles Mortes, which... The title of the song in French, of course, is The Dead Leaves.
Yes.
And he said, if it is so beautiful that if you could get an English lyric for it, I'd like to record it.
Yes.
And I found out that an American publisher had taken over the song and that Johnny Mercer was writing a lyric for it. And just as soon as I got the lyric, Bing came back, and that was one of the first things we recorded.
Well, I have expressed myself a number of times on this program and on my television shows for CBS that I think maybe the reason it was never a big hit before, Dave, is because it was cluttered up by a lyric. And I think people want the instrumental version because it's such a beautiful melody line. As a matter of fact, let's play it right now, and then you and I will have a chance to talk about it afterwards, along with the artist who performed it, Mr. Roger Williams. So here it is, the Cap recording featuring Roger Williams, almost a piano concerto as he performs Autumn Leaves.
Thank you.
Roger Williams, a Cap record, a beautiful thing called Autumn Leaves. Roger, that would sound to me as though maybe you like this sort of music much better than the boogie-woogie piano that you're also noted for.
You bet, Howard, that's right.
When did you get your training for this sort of classical piano work?
Well, I have studied piano just about all my life.
Uh-huh. Where's home, Raj?
Des Moines, Iowa, Howard.
Oh, I hope all of our friends out in the tall corn state are listening to you then this morning, and they probably are.
I hope so.
How long have you been in New York?
Well, almost 3 years now.
And this is your first recording?
This is my first single release, Howard, yes.
How did Dave Capp discover you?
Well, I was playing at a hotel here in New York, the Madison Hotel. He came in one evening and heard me play. And, Howard, I'm very grateful for what he did to get me started in music.
I know that you are, Roger. Just one more indication that Dave Capp can hear more sounds from just 88 keys than most people can hear in a whole quartet of pianos. I want to thank both you, Roger, and also Dave Capp. Will you come in and say goodbye, Dave?
Thank you, Howard. I will, and I hope to see you soon.
I'm looking forward to having you making appearance out here.
Thanks for coming into our office.
Fine. I'll be in New York real soon.
All right, good.
Thanks very, very much. I guess the fight's called off in New York tonight, isn't it?
Well, it looks like it's clearing up. I just turned to look out the window. We're supposed to get part of that hurricane, but it looks pretty clear at this moment.
Well, this is Howard Miller then saying goodbye to our two wonderful guests, Dave Capp and Roger Williams, and saying thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow for Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Bye-bye from now from Howard Miller in Chicago.
Be sure and join Howard Miller tomorrow at this same time when his guest will be Lillian Briggs. This is the CBS Radio Network.